As we look in Ephesians chapter 2, and I want to go back and look at verse 11 and verse 12, 11, where we stopped off of on last week. In verse number 11, he says, "Wherefore, remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world." When you look at verse 11 and verse 12, we know the Gentiles, who were the uncircumcision, they experienced two types of alienation. The first one was social, resulting from the animosity that had existed between the Jews and the Gentiles. For thousands of years, the Jews considered the Gentiles to be outcasts and objects of reproach. But then the second type is the more significant type of alienation, and that was spiritual. The first one was social. The second is spiritual. Because the Gentiles, as a people, were cut off from God in five different ways. And we had you to just think about that as we're going to talk about it tonight. How were they cut off from God in five different ways? Well, it's there in verse number 12. Number one, the first thing is that they were separated from Christ. They were without Christ, the Messiah, having no Savior and Deliverer, and without divine purpose or destiny. So the first one was that they were separated from Christ. But then, number two, they were excluded from the commonwealth of Israel. God's chosen people, the Jews, were a nation whose supreme king and Lord was God himself, and from whose unique blessings and protection was God himself, and from whose unique blessings and protections that they benefited. So they were separated from Christ. They were excluded from the commonwealth of Israel. The number three, the Gentiles were strangers to the covenants of promise. In other words, not able to partake of God's divine covenant, in which he promised to give his people a land, a priesthood, a people, a nation, a kingdom, and a king, and that those who believed in him, eternal life and heaven. And then number four, they had no hope because they had been given no divine promise. And then number five, they were without God in the world. They were without God in the world. So these were the five different ways from this particular verse. They were separated from Christ. They were excluded from the commonwealth of Israel. They were strangers to the covenant promise. They had no hope, and without God in the world. Now, since the Gentile addressees used to be aliens from the Jewish nation, whose were God's people, the Gentiles were without the spiritual blessings given them by God. Because when you look at without God, it means not having his help and assistance. And this was their spiritual plight before salvation. How many tonight can we think of, or you know, that are living their lives tonight without God, not having his help, and not having his assistance. But then when you get to verse 13, here is a good part, but now. Thank God for the but now. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off. Now let's look at that word, far off. This was a common term in writing used to describe the Gentiles, those who were far apart from the true God, because the Jews considered themselves and their converts to be brought near to God because of their covenant relationship to him and the presence of his temple in Jerusalem. So he says, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometime were far off, but watch this, are made nigh. Made nigh or brought near. Every person who trusts in Christ alone for salvation, Jew or Gentile, is brought into spiritual union and intimacy with God. This is the reconciliation that we talk about. Let's go to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And let's see this in verse, beginning with verse number 18. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning with verse 18, he says, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and have given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing or counting their trespasses unto them, and have committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. And then in verse 21, for he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So the atoning work accomplished by Christ's death on the cross washes away the penalty of sin and ultimately even its presence. Because the Jews, they had access to God through his temple in Jerusalem. They were said to be nigh, but Gentile nations geographically removed from the temple were said to be far off. And these terms of space came to denote moral distance, so that to be nigh was to have a proper relationship with God, and to be far off was to have an improper relationship with God. But thank God, the blood of Christ does not just do away with our sin, but literally, it saves us. It is the blood of Jesus, our Savior, that makes us acceptable to the Father. It was his blood being shed that removed the veil to the Holy of Holies. In Colossians chapter 1, verse number 14, Colossians 1 and verse 14, he says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. In 1 Peter 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 and 19. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 and 19. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. So the cleansing value of the blood of Christ immediately washes away the penalty of sin and ultimately washes away even its presence. Because in Christ, the great foundational barrier of sin has been removed. Every other barrier has been removed as well. And those who are in Christ are one in each other. Whether they realize it or not, whether they act like it or not, they are one in each other. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and verse 17. He says, what? Know ye not that he which is joined to a harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh. So the purpose of the Lord's table, why do we partake of the Lord's Supper every Sunday? Well, the purpose of the Lord's table is to remind us of the sacrifice our Lord made, not only to bring us to himself, but also to each other. Again, it's to remind us of the sacrifice our Lord made, not only to bring us to himself, but also to each other. By removing our sins, Christ gives us peace with each other. And not only he gives us peace with each other, but he gives us access to God. So we have access to God. So then when you look at verse 14, back in Ephesians chapter 2, he says this. He says, for he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished, verse 15, in his flesh, the enmity, even the law of commandments, contained in ordinance, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. Now notice what he says. Who have made both one? Jesus has formed the two groups of Jew and Gentile into a single new party. He did this by removing the middle wall of partition. That is the Mosaic law. The law was meant to protect Jews from pagan corruption. But by misconstruing the purpose of the law, the Jews felt superior to the Gentiles. And so Jesus abolished this enmity, in other words, this hatred caused by an abuse of the law, by making the law invalid for his church. So he says, of twain, one new man. Christian Jew and Christian Gentile now compose this one new man. And that's why we are all one. When we have been baptized into Christ, when we have put on Christ, we are one. In Christ, it doesn't matter how much money you have. It doesn't matter whether you're rich or poor. It doesn't matter the color of your skin. We are one in Christ Jesus. And so he says, for he is our peace. For he himself is our peace. Now notice, he himself, this indicates that Jesus alone is the believer's source of peace. You can look at Isaiah 9 in verse number 6. Jesus alone is our peace. Just as sin is the cause of all conflict and division, it is also the enemy of all peace and harmony. Built into wickedness is the impossibility of peace. Because sin is basically selfishness. And selfishness is basically divisive. And not only is it divisive, but it's disruptive. And so we need to understand that we cannot always have what we want without infringing on what someone else wants or needs. We cannot always have our own way without interfering with someone else's way. So Jesus Christ is the King of Peace. He not only brings peace, but he is peace. He is peace. And when we receive Jesus Christ within us, whether Jew or Gentile, we have the peace of God, which passeth all understanding. Philippians 4 and verse 7. Philippians 4 and verse number 7. Peace comes only when self dies. Let me say that again. Peace comes only when self dies. And the only place self truly dies is at the foot of Calvary. That's why Paul was able to say, when you turn to Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, Galatians 2 and verse 20. Paul was able to say, I am crucified. I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So in Jesus Christ, a Jew is no longer distinct from a Gentile. as far as religion is concerned. And so we need to understand that, because the barrier of the dividing wall has been broke down. That's why he says, "For he is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of partition between us." Now, when you talk about this, when he's talking about this this wall, this barrier, this alluded to a wall in the temple that portioned off the court of the Gentile from the area accessible only to the Jews. And so Paul referred to that wall as symbolic of the social, religious, and spiritual separation that kept the Jews and the Gentiles apart. Jesus made both groups, the Jews, those who were near, the Gentiles, those who were far off. He made both groups into one and broke down the barrier of the dividing wall. God had originally separated Jews from Gentiles for the purpose of redeeming both groups. He placed the court of the Gentile in the temple for the very purpose of winning Gentiles to himself. It was meant to be a place for Jewish evangelism of Gentiles, a place for willing proselytes to Judaism and thereby bringing them near. And so in this church of Ephesus, both Jew and Gentiles had given their heart to Jesus. They were one in him. Jesus is the focal point upon which all of us must center on. He is the focal point. That's what we need to be focused on, is him. And I know there's a lot of things that's going on in this world and in other countries, but the focal point is him, because he can control any situation. And so we have to understand, he is the hub of the wheel, and each of us are the spokes. He's the hub of the wheel. We are just the spokes. We are all connected to him if we are Christians. And we draw our strength, we draw our power from him. And we jail in the top to bottom when he gave his body on the cross. The veil in the temple was symbolic of the flesh of Jesus. It was symbolic of the flesh of Jesus. He opened a way for whosoever will into the very presence of the Father. And so it matters not whether we are Jew, Gentile, it doesn't matter whether we are black or white, or red or polka dot, we are all precious in His sight. We are all one in Christ Jesus if we have been baptized into Him. And He is our peace. He is our peace. And then as we kind of get to the end, in verse 15, he says, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinance, for to make himself of twain one new man, so making peace. Christ forever broke down every dividing wall by abolished in his flesh the enmity, which is the law of commandments contained in ordinance. When Jesus died on the cross, he abolished every barrier between man and God and between man and his fellow man. But here is the problem. We are building walls where he has already torn down. And so we need to understand that Christ forever broke down the middle wall of partition. And the greatest barrier, as I close, between the Jew and the Gentile was a ceremonial law. The law of commandments contained in ordinance. In other words, the feasts, sacrifices, and offerings are laws of cleanliness and purification and all other such distinctive outward commandments for the unique separation of Israel from the nation. It was abolished. It was abolished. And so how was it abolished? Through his death. Christ abolished the Old Testament ceremonial laws, the feasts, the sacrifices that separated Jews from Gentiles. God's moral law is summarized in the Ten Commandments and written on the heart of all men. Romans 2, verse 15, was not abolished, but surmised in the New Covenant because it reflects His own holy nature. You read. If you have time, just read Matthew chapter 5 and verse 17 through 19. Matthew 5, 17 through 19. And we're going to pick back up with this because we're going to talk about this one new the one new man. Because it's very, very important, because he says he made in himself of twain one new man. So we will pick that up, Lord's willing, on next week. Go ahead, and I want you to go ahead and read some scriptures if you want to read. Read Romans chapter 10, verse 12 through 13. Romans 10, 12 through 13. Read Galatians chapter 3, verse 28. Galatians 3, 28. John 13, verse 34. John 13 and verse 34, and then James chapter 2 and verse number 8. James chapter 2 and verse number 8. So again, just read ahead. Read Romans 10, 12 through 13, Galatians 3, 28, John 13, 34, James chapter 2 and verse 8, because these are some scriptures we're going to be talking about as we're talking about this new man on next week. Again, we just want to thank you for listening, and then we will be opening up for any prayer.